Thank you, Louise. I know what you're thinking. How in the world did this church call a 10-year-old preacher? We're so glad that you are here and we're excited about God's Word. Would you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter? We have been in a year-long study, actually about a year and a half now, of the Gospel according to Luke. And now we find ourselves in the 18th chapter in the 9th verse. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verse 9. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would just take your word, that you would touch our hearts, draw us closer to Jesus than we have ever been. Father, you brought us here for a purpose this day. Work that purpose in us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, back when we began the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we did so understanding that people who know God should be praying people. I hope you pray. I hope you pray every day. I don't know about you, but I can't get through my day without prayer. I can't get out of bed without prayer. And I can't go to bed without prayer. It should be as natural to you as breathing. It should be a part of who you are, and it will equip you for what you will become. One who truly knows God will certainly spend time talking to God. And let me tell you this, if you've got something on your heart, it should be in your prayer. Anything you're concerned about, God is concerned about. He cares about you, and he cares about what you care about. The little things, the big things. Well, I don't know about you, but there are no little things in my life. Everything that goes on is a big thing in my world. Well, fortunately, I have a God who loves me enough to have everything that goes on in my life be a big thing for him. And so he cares and he waits for our praying. He wants to hear from you. It is praying that can keep us from failing God and can keep us from failing man. So in this chapter, in this 18th chapter, Jesus is teaching us about the loving nature of God, and he's teaching us a little bit about the true nature of those who God will listen to in prayer. He's talking in parables, and so he speaks to parables to individuals. Now, the individuals that are in front of him on this particular day are individuals that really don't like him all that much. They believe they have a relationship with God, but they believe God is thrilled to have them in a relationship with him. They have a fatal flaw. We see it in verse 9. And he spoke a parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. May I tell you, the problem that we have in America today is we have people that only do what they see is right in their own eyes. They set their own standards, they set their own rules, they live by their own way, and they want you not only to like it, they want you to applaud it. The ones in this passage put their faith in themselves, and that is exactly what people are doing today. There's a passage of Scripture that says the people did only what was right in their own eyes. That's America. That's where we sit today. And unfortunately, it's many people who have had ties to the church. These people that listened to Jesus on this day thought that everything revolved around them. They did not only exalt themselves, but they despised everybody that didn't agree with them. You hear any of that today? You know, in America, I grew up in a country that believed, you may not agree with me, but I will fight with my life to defend your right to say what you believe. When did we get in a country that believes that if you don't agree with me, you got to keep your mouth shut? If you don't agree with me, you got to go away somewhere. Well, the individuals before Jesus on this day, they had a contempt for everyone that was not just like them. Can I tell you a secret? In this church, we have a lot of people, great people, that are not alike. We look different. We comb our hair differently. We wear different clothes. We are different weights. We have different hair color. Some of us have hair. Some of us don't. We are different in many, many ways. I am thankful God has called his church to be a people, a many-natured people, a many-colored people, if you will, a many separate people that comes together in one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus tells this parable. He tells the parable of two men that go up to the temple to pray. Now, if you're in Jerusalem, where would you like to pray? The place to pray would be the temple. In fact, when God ordained the temple, that house was to be a house of prayer. And so it was natural to go there to pray. I am thankful for the people who come here to pray. I'm thankful for the people who pray from here and wherever you are every day, but there's something special on Wednesday night when we gather and we have our time of prayer, and we pray for the concerns and we pray for the needs of individuals in our church and around our city and around our area. In this story, Jesus is doing a good job of weaving it, and so there is a good guy and there is a bad guy. There's one that the audience would naturally want to cheer, and there is one that the audience that listens on this day would naturally boo. Now, Jesus knows his audience. Can I tell you, Jesus knows you? He knows all about you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you need, and he knows how to minister to your heart. And so Jesus is going to weave this parable, and he tells them this story where they have a good guy and they have a bad guy, but the way he weaves this story, at the end, the bad guy will be the good guy and the good guy will be the bad guy. And so there's one in this story that they believe to be the good guy. That is the guy that is identified as the Pharisee. Now, all Pharisees were religious. In fact, they were super religious. If you were a Pharisee, you were into keeping the law. May I say that we should all be into keeping the law? We should keep our nation's laws. We should keep our state's laws, our city's laws. But above them all, we should be keeping God's law. And we should make it a part of our lives. The Pharisees were into keeping laws. Now, they not only kept the law, they memorized the law. The first five books of the Bible are the Torah. And so a Pharisee would commit to memory, those five books. And listen, they were really smart because they memorized it in Hebrew. And so they memorized it and they put it in their minds, and they knew the law. They knew the Torah, but they didn't stop there. You see, they would not only memorize the Torah, they had another book called the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is not the Torah. The Mishnah is not the Bible. The Mishnah is not ordained by God. The Mishnah was their thoughts. The Mishnah was a book that they wrote to describe what the Torah really meant. And the Mishnah was not a small book. The Mishnah was much larger than the Torah. Because, they might write several chapters in the Mishnah on one verse in the Torah. And so if you were a good Pharisee, you kept the Torah and you kept the Mishnah. But that wasn't all. They had the Talmud. And the Talmud was the book they wrote to explain the Mishnah, which explained the Torah. Now, if you got to have a book that explains the book that explains the book, this is one of those books that probably needs some explaining. So they would memorize the Talmud, they would memorize the Mishnah, and they would memorize the Torah, and they would seek to put all those things in their lives. Now, Jesus identifies one of these characters as a Pharisee, and so they would think that is the good guy. Now, a lot of them would think the Pharisee was a good guy because a lot of them in the room were Pharisees. Now, Jesus didn't have to say much about the other guy, the bad guy. The second guy that is in his story that went to the temple to pray was a publican. That's right, a publican. Now, if you were a publican and you quit being a publican and you went back to being a publican, what would you be? A Republican. But this was just a publican. Okay. The publican, the sad thing is that's the only thing some of you will remember from today. The publicans were the most hated people in all of Israel. The Jews hated the Romans and could not stand them. But some of the Jews contracted themselves out to the Romans. Romans, you see, didn't collect their own taxes. They contracted out to others who collected the taxes. And they were not paid by Rome. They were paid by the taxes. Not the taxes that Rome collected, but the taxes that the publicans would collect on top of the Romans' taxes. In other words, they got to levy a special tax for their own pay. Sometimes, in some cases, that would double Rome's tax. It's not hard to see how the publicans would become unliked. And so when anybody would think of a publican, they would naturally want to hiss and boo. This publican was no different. These were men that were viewed as traitors by Israel. Now, if Jesus' audience cheered when he mentioned the Pharisee, they would have had disgust when he mentioned the publican. So Jesus identifies two men, and he tells that these two men went to the temple to pray. In one of them, we see self-proclamation in verse 17. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." This one verse tells us an awful lot about this one man. This Pharisee went up to the temple. It tells us not only that he went up to the temple, it tells us a lot about why he went up to the temple. The scripture says he prayed thus with himself. Now, you see, this man did not go to the temple so much to pray to God. He went up to the temple not so much not to pray, but to perform. His going to the temple was not about God at all. It was all about him. You know, there are a lot of people that have wrecked churches by making it all about them. May I tell you, anytime you go to God's house, it's about him. And your life should be about him. But this man made it all about himself. He didn't go to talk to God so much as he went to talk about himself. Now, the scripture says he prayed thus with himself. He stood in a place by himself, but a place where others would be able to see him, and more importantly, others would be able to hear him. He didn't go to God to seek forgiveness because, quite honestly, he didn't think he needed any. I've talked to a lot of people that didn't think they need any forgiveness at all. Maybe that's you. If you don't think you need any forgiveness, may I tell you, you've got a bad view of yourself. All of us need forgiveness. I truly stand in need of forgiveness at all times. He stood in a place by himself and he proclaimed how good he was. He didn't act for mercy. He didn't ask for mercy because he didn't think he needed any. In fact, he thought he deserved anything God would give him. It is doubtful that he thought he needed any help from God at all. I will give him credit for this. He did thank God. Now, if we're honest, we have to admit this was actually a pretty good guy. I mean, think about it. He was not like the run-of-the-mill sinner. He didn't harm other people. May I tell you, you shouldn't harm other people. Our desire as believers should be to help other people, not harm other people. The Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. Well, that should be our thought in life too, is that we don't want to harm anyone. We want to encourage them. We don't want to tear them down. He said, I'm not an extortioner. I don't swindle people. I don't take their property unjustly. I'm not unjust. I don't take advantage of others' ignorance in business deals. I don't take other men's wives. Listen, if this man was given a testimony in a church and he was truly looking to God, there would have been a lot of people saying amen to a lot of the things this man said. He says, I fast 2 times a week. Now that's pretty good. The law said you needed to fast once a year. The Pharisees would fast 2 times a week. They would fast on the second day of the week and they would fast on the fifth day of the week. You see, they believed that Moses went up to Mount Sinai on the fifth day of the week before God and that he brought the laws down on the second day of the week. And so believing that, those are days that they committed to fasting. Now, he's got all these good things going, and then it even gets better. I tithe all I possess. Glory, hallelujah, somebody sign him up. This is the kind of church member you kind of want. He's showing up all the time. He's doing all the right things, and he's a tither. He gives a lot. Most churches would have a fit to get this guy in their church. This Pharisee had a tendency to think that everything he did was right and everything anybody else did was wrong. He had noticed everybody in the room. He had separated himself from them, but not so much that they could not hear what he had to say. And he extolled all his virtues. And in doing so, he took time to point out the publican and said, I thank you that I'm not like him. Wow. Now, we're going to come back to the Pharisee in a minute. Here we have this man that is praying with himself instead of praying to God. May I tell you, when you come before God, you need to know who you're before. You need to know that he is everything and you are nothing. You need to put your life in his hands completely, and you need to bow your will down to him. Now, this prayer was a prayer of self-proclamation. When you pray in public, don't wonder what other people are thinking of you. You're talking to God. You know, we have these big events like the inauguration and all these people with their written documents of prayer. You know, I hope that they're talking to God and not just talking to other people. Well, this man had a one-sided conversation. He was talking with himself about himself. He was not going to get God's attention with this kind of prayer. At one of the national prayer breakfasts during the Reagan administration, you might remember that President Reagan leaned over to the person that was praying and said, excuse me, stopped him in the middle of his prayer. And he said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't hear what you're saying. And the person that was praying said, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, I wasn't talking to you." Well, we are to make our prayers God-centered. We are to make our prayers God-focused. We should never pray in such a way that we only want our way. When you go before God, you want His will. If all you want is your will when you pray, you're not praying to God, you're trying to be God, and that's not good. There's self-presentation in verse 13. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus wanted his listeners to know that there are two very different types of people in this story. Now, his listeners would have kind of picked up on it without him saying much, knowing one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. They had heard from the Pharisee. That's the one they thought was the good guy, the right guy, the guy that did all things right. Now they're going to hear from the publican. Where the Pharisee sought attention of the people, the publican stayed off to himself. The Pharisee spoke very loudly. The publican spoke with a very soft voice. The Pharisee took a stance that he was somebody, but the publican lowered his head and would not lift it to heaven. He was shamed. May I tell you, when I think of the glory of Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me, and I look at my life, I am ashamed. I can identify with this publican. I don't deserve to be in this place. I don't deserve to speak from God's word. I don't deserve to even call out to Him. And yet God allows that in His mercy and grace. This publican had no good deeds to parade. In fact, you know, it's very likely that everything that the Pharisee didn't do, the publican had done. And the publican didn't do anything that the Pharisee did that was good. He is honest with God about his sin. Now, he doesn't want to be punished for his sin. He wants mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't do to you what you deserve. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All our righteousness is as filthy rags." None of us deserve anything good. Anything that we get from God will either be in judgment or in mercy. Which one are you going to pick? I'm with the publican. I want mercy. And then there's self-perfection in verse 14. "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." Now, he didn't perfect himself. No one can perfect himself. But he found perfection in bowing himself down to God's will and letting God have his way in his life. This is where Jesus turns the tables. The guy they thought was the good guy ends up in a bad place. And the guy they thought was the bad guy ends up in a good place. The Pharisee had a problem with pride, so much so that he couldn't see his own sin. My friend, if you don't think you're a sinner, you have a pride problem. You also have an ignorance about your own life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me, that's you, that's everybody you know. And because we are all sinners, we all need a Savior. We need to reach out to one that is better than us, one that can perfect us, one that can do what we cannot do. That is exactly what the publican does. The Pharisee was all caught up in himself. The Bible says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." If you can't see your own sinfulness, if you can't see that you need a Savior, then you have a vision problem. It's not the good that go to heaven and the bad that go to hell. The Scripture tells us There are none good, no, not one. It is the lost people that go to hell. It is the saved people that go to heaven. Nobody can deserve heaven. Nobody can deserve forgiveness. It is all given by the grace and mercy of God. And it is only because Jesus was willing to die on Calvary's cross that any of us have any hope. The publican was made perfect because he came as a sinner, needing the mercy of God. He didn't deserve it, couldn't earn it. That forgiveness could only come through the Messiah's sacrifice. Jesus would take his sins to the cross. Can I tell you that Jesus took my sins to the cross? And may I tell you that Jesus took your sins to the cross? And the only way for that to apply for your life is for you to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. This humble publican very quietly went before God and laid himself on God's altar saying, "I am nothing, you are everything, I give myself to you. I give myself to your purpose. I plead for your mercy." Why are you here? Did you come here for your own, for a selfish reason? Did you come here? Some of you came because children were here. Did you come because your mother expected you to be here, or your wife or your husband? You know, why are you here? Did you come seeking yourself? Or did you come seeking God? I got a better question. No matter who you came to seek, no matter why you originally came, would you be willing to seek God now? Would you be willing to humble yourself, come before God, allow him to forgive and cleanse your life, allow him to save your soul? Listen, if you are here and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, you are lost. Just like the Pharisee. You may not be a jerk like that Pharisee, but you are lost. And the only hope you have is to come to Jesus like the publican. It is the only hope I have. It's the only hope any of us have. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I plead with you, I beg you, don't leave here without Jesus. God brought you here today, no matter why the original purpose was, his purpose was to bring you to Jesus. And so you're going to have a moment, an opportunity, and all you're going to have to do is to stand up from where you are if you want Jesus and come forward and just say, "I want Jesus." I know what that means. God knows what that means. We will pray together, and our Lord Jesus will come into your heart. He will save your soul. He will do it today. Maybe you're here and you're already a believer, but the truth is you haven't been following God very well. Maybe today you need to come before God and ask for forgiveness and reach out for his mercy. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse our sins and to forgive us of all sin, as a matter of fact. God's willing to do that for you today. Maybe you need a church home and this is the place. Well, come and be part of us. We need you. And God will bless us in your coming. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. I thank you, Father, for drawing them to this moment. And now, Father, there's an opportunity. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, and there are, I pray that you would penetrate their hearts, penetrate their minds. Let them know that they need Jesus and let them be willing to come. Father, I pray for those that know you but have gotten away from you, Father, that today would be a day that they recommit their lives to you. Just maybe coming to the altar and praying. And Father, still others that need a church home, that you would draw them to this place. Move in our lives, move in our hearts, draw us to decisions. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?